Hello, everyone. Appreciate the special music. It's certainly just lovely. Welcome to everybody that might be watching online as well. Nice to see you all here. The days of unleavened bread are a memorial to be observed and remembered forever. What is our part as this historical event continues on out into eternity? How do we understand the symbolism of the Passover or the power that smashed Egypt in the blood of the sacrificed lamb? What about the leaving in haste and the unleavened bread? How do we see our part in all of this? We don't eat a lamb today, but rather, following the example of Christ, the baptized members took the Passover bread and wine. And we also washed one another's feet. That in itself is a huge lesson for us. It's more than an act of humility. We need to be cleansed of our sins, and only God can do that for us. We can't clean ourselves from our sins. And Christ said we are to do that foot washing, if we're to have a part in him. So representing, we have to be cleansed of our sins. Now we're all keeping the days of unleavened bread. Now we all make a choice. The choice to forsake sin and turn around and get away from it. So it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me. We don't look back to leeks and onions or the old way of life, the old sins. We go forward. Keeping these days for 7 days shows us it's a lifetime journey. It's a lifetime effort. 7 days picture obedience, actively obeying God, submitting to his will on an ongoing basis. So we began these days with the night to be much observed, to remember that it was and is God's power that delivered us in the first place. So do we keep or think these days separately from the Passover? It's true, they're two separate times. The Passover is on the 14th, the days of unleavened bread begin on the 15th. But should we be so focused on the days of unleavened bread that we don't think about what was required for us to even begin our journey out of our personal bondage of sin? So today, I'd like to connect the purpose of the benefits of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So I gave this message the title, Take It Personally. Take it personally. I think that'll help us to be more effective, to keep the days with a greater passion and a zeal. If we keep the Passover sacrifice of Christ in our minds as we observe these days that picture putting sin out of our lives. So how is that possible? What makes it even possible to think that we have any power to come out of sin and keep it out of our lives? The answer is that the sacrifice of Christ should stir us to take action against sin and then come out of its bondage. We have to understand we've been redeemed. We're brought back with a very high price. The firstborn of God died for us. That makes it personal. That's how we were set free from bondage. When we understand what Christ did for us, we need to be convicted of our personal sins to the point that we would never want to sin again. Never forget what was done for us, what was given for us. That's so personal. Over in Exodus 11, 4 through 6, Exodus 11, Exodus That reveals this plan of love, this great love God had for mankind. And we have to understand that love and know that love. Or we could get a wrong impression from these events. Exodus 11, verse 4. Then Moses says, thus says the Lord, about midnight, I'll go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who's behind the handmill, and the firstborn of all the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. There was nothing like this. The oldest firstborn to the newest firstborn all died in one night. Now, this could give the impression God is not very merciful if we don't understand what he was doing. Remember, God promised great blessings to Abraham's descendants, and yet he allowed them to be slaves for centuries. That might not seem as merciful if we don't understand God had a plan and a purpose. God will bring those who died back to life. He'll give them life again in his time, so he has a plan. That plan involves suffering. Jesus Christ suffered. This has all been allowed for a great purpose, and we have to understand that clearly. We understand sin causes suffering. See, that's part of the story. So, continuing our review, Exodus 12, starting in verse 10. Exodus 12, 10. Talking about the sacrifices. It says here, you let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you'll burn with fire. Excuse me. That was to picture a total and a complete sacrifice. We'll talk more about that later. We'll see that Christ gave his whole body. It was a complete sacrifice. Exodus 12, verse 11. Thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover, not ours. God owned that perfect lamb. So Jesus was God's sacrifice, not ours. John 3, 13, 16 and 17, it shows that. We'll come back to Exodus, but you're very familiar with these scriptures. I'll just go ahead and read them. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, not just us, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this was to picture that great sacrifice that God the Father would give for all of mankind. He gave, he allowed his Son to suffer and die as a sacrifice for us. Again, very personal. He sacrificed Christ. Abraham almost sacrificed Isaac, who was his beloved son. God actually did allow the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that part, that God loves us that much. What does the lamb symbolize? Well, Christ is our Passover, and God used the lamb to show it would take blood to save us. God is the one who saves us through Christ. Over in John 1, starting in verse 25, John 1, I'll get there. John 1:25. They asked him and said to him, why are you baptized then? Asking John the Baptist. If you be not that Christ or Elijah, neither the prophet. And the prophet was a reference to the prophet to come that would be like Moses, who was Christ. John answered him, saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lace I'm not worthy to unloose. Certainly that was a humble attitude. These things were done in Bethany beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you imagine what people thought when they heard that? This is the true Lamb, the Lamb who takes the sins of the world away. How could a man take sins away? They could have known. Really, they should have known. Over in Isaiah 53, I won't read all of this. I know we rehearsed this before Passover, but just to go back and see what they could have known. I'll just read verses 1 through 5 here. Here it says, Who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. His stripes involved both the physical and spiritual healing. And again, Christ was a total sacrifice. His stripes provided a spiritual healing and deliverance from sin as well. We need to remember that sacrifice and take it personally. Now, Exodus 12, go back there, just read a little bit. Exodus 12. And read verse 14 here. This states we're to remember all of this. Really understand that just as the children of Israel were protected by the blood of the Passover lamb, we are protected today by that very great sacrifice of Christ and his blood that cleanses us. Exodus 12:14. Here it says, So this day shall be to you a memorial. You'll keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So here we have the command to observe this memorial. And we're commanded to keep it as a feast, as an everlasting memorial. That command was given about 3,500 years ago. It's still going. Verse 12 to 14 explain the reason for putting the blood on the doorposts and the lintel and the top of the doorframe. The people would come under God's protection and be a house of protection because of the blood of the Lamb. Today, we've come into the household of God where we're protected by the blood of the Lamb. Then the instruction, the command to remove the leaven are given next, verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day to the seventh, that person will be cut off from Israel. Verse 16, on the first day, it will be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day, it will be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So this is an official summons. It's an official assembly. First day of the seventh day, our holy days. Verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Again, it's repeated. It's an everlasting ordinance. This is a law. It is forever. The command isn't changed. We're still to do this. Verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you'll eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what's leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native in the land. Verse 20, you eat nothing leavened, and all your dwellings eat unleavened bread. So we need to do that. There's a significant symbolism attached to that eating of unleavened bread. And when we eat that every day, we avoid the leavened products, anything leavened. And then we're to eat of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth every day. So when we eat that bread, we can think about that as well. And verse 24, it says, observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. That was Exodus 12, 24. Well, we still do this, but now with different symbols. The symbols were changed, but the ordinance has not changed. It's still valid, still in force. A couple more verses there, verse 25. It'll come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, and you keep this service. And it'll be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? And you say, you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. And then the people bowed their heads in worship. Now we'll examine the why of these things. What's the reason? What's the heart of the matter? There's more to it than just saving the children of Israel that one night. You know, we're to come out of spiritual Egypt. You know, we're delivered just as they were. So that's true for us. We've been delivered from Satan, from this world. But the great purpose, the great lessons from this ordinance and this commanded ceremony basically has two parts. One, we had to be delivered from bondage because we could not free ourselves by our own power. And then second, we have to stay out, not go back. Now, the New Testament Passover expands our understanding of these things. We begin to understand the sacrifice of Christ and discern the meaning of the bread and wine. We have the foot washing service, shows the need to be spiritually clean, and have a different approach to life and how we relate to our fellow man. We also put leaven out. We know the leaven pictures sin. We're to remove sin from our lives and not to return to spiritual Egypt and the sin that that represents. Now, if anyone doesn't have or they don't read or believe the New Testament scriptures, they may not understand the symbolism of the leavening. Actually, most people, including Christians who read the New Testament, they don't understand the symbolism of leavening, picturing sin. This lack of understanding really begins with people not understanding the Passover. People say you just have to believe that Christ died for your sins. God's plan of salvation was not completed at Christ's crucifixion. It really began there. Jesus died because we broke God's law. And then Jesus' sacrifice wipes away our past sins, and now we have a fresh start. We can't afford to stand still after repenting and being forgiven by Christ's blood. We must forsake sin completely. Christ's sacrifice doesn't give us license or permission to break God's law with impunity in the future. Jesus said he had finished the work which the Father gave him. Because later, when Christ was on the cross, he said it was finished. What was finished? The sacrifice of his life for the sins of the world was finished, but that did not finish the plan of salvation. And this is where the understanding the days of unleavened bread come in. Now this becomes personal. Now we must make a decision. Will we continue to sin or quit sinning? The answer is, of course, we must never again return to the sins Christ paid for with his blood. We have to come totally out of sin. See, that's the problem. People do not want to quit sinning. Sin does have pleasure for a season or for a certain amount of time. It seems so easy for people to forget. Christ suffered and died because they were seeking that temporary pleasure. They also don't understand the lesson of unleavened bread, that we have to do our part. Our part is submit to God and work with all our might to learn to perfectly obey God's commands. We in the church today do understand these days remind us what God did for us and teach us what God wants from us. We were to put the leaven out for 7 days and picture getting sin out of our lives. But you know, we all know that. But it doesn't stop in 7 days. We have to keep going. And then just as we put leaven out, we are to be taking Christ in. And that's how we need to live in a spiritual sense. So we have 7 days, a complete period of time. There's a beginning, there's an end. 7 days represent our days, however long we have, however long we live. We have to live by the true bread the Father sends. Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on me shall live." Over in John 6, 48, down through 51. John 6, I'll go turn there. John 6, 48. He said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. They're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." And then he says this, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." I'll just quote Hebrews 6:1, where we're told, "Go on to perfection." And then Hebrews 6, it says, we'll do that if God permits. So we have the understanding there's a great meaning and purpose of the holy days. They're designed to bring about a desired result. And the result is God will have sons and daughters. What stands to reason, since we're not perfect yet, we have to go on to perfection. Removing leavening for 7 days, that pictures the beginning of a process that helps us move toward perfection. When Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to him, told him, "Walk with God and be perfect." Christ also told the disciples, "Be you therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Well, God wouldn't ask them to do something if it wasn't possible for them to do that. They were to put sin out of their lives. It would be a process. And just the same as us, it's not something we can finish overnight. You know, we're not told go on to perfection in today or this week for sure. We're told go on. And we don't arrive there overnight. We need to continue to make forward progress. And the 7 days shows us it takes time. In the New Testament, in 25 places, it says the words, keep the commandments. So there's no question that going on to perfection includes the keeping of the commandments, obedience to God. So we need to keep putting sin out, like we do the leaven, for a whole week. But the lesson to put the sin out is just not a week or a year, it's to the end of our life. So, brethren, we are going on to perfection. We recognize none of us are there yet. So we need to continue to love and encourage one another on our physical and spiritual journey. Our heart's desire is to love, serve, and obey our Father in heaven with joy, with gladness, and love our neighbors as ourselves. That foot-washing portion of the Passover service reminded us of that. We're not in bondage in this way of life. You know, we are a truly blessed and happy people. And God is pleased with us, and He will help us to be successful. So as we begin another year with Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, we have to be encouraged that we can continue to grow in perfection. And like I said earlier, we don't do it overnight. But we have made some progress, and we'll make even more progress as we continue to keep the sin out, keep hanging in there, and do it to the end. Again, we can't do it alone. God will help us, and as we do make progress, we remember, give God the credit, give God the thanks. I'll just read here Psalm 18, verse 32. You can write that down if you like. Psalm 18, verse 32. It says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Again, very personal, God helping us. We give the glory to God. We also need to understand we leave the old world of sin. We can't stay in the world and worship God. Israel had to leave Egypt to be able to worship God. The Pharaoh wanted to control them, control how they served God. And he was very hard-hearted about it. There's that example of him forcing the Israelites to gather the straw for their bricks. That only added to their bondage. God gives laws to us for the benefit of his people and the good of the people. So we're to come out of the control of the Pharaoh of this world and this age. Notice Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I read 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, desiring the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That is what we were. God got us out of that. He's the one who delivered us and freed us from that bondage. Over in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, 1 John, First John 2, 15. Excuse me. Here we're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not of the Father, it's of the world. Verse 17, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Lust and pride are part of our human nature. They are. They're powerful things. We simply can't come out of them by ourselves. We don't have the power to do it. So first, we had to be rescued. Second, we must never go back. This is all personal. We have been rescued and delivered from being the slaves of sin. That's what coming out of the captivity of sin means. Over in Romans 6, Romans 6, 22. I'll go there, Acts, Romans. I'm going to read Romans 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruits unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Backing up to verse 17, it says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. We've been set free from sin, not from the law. The law shows us what sin is so we can put it out. So I think we all know that the law isn't a question. But putting sin out is easier said than done. It simply isn't very easy. We have to identify it, be aware of where it might show up. When we define sin, usually we mean anything that violates the spirit and intent as well as the letter of God's commandments. We examine ourselves, maybe make a plan, work on it one area at a time. You know, just like we didn't try to unleaven the whole house at one time, that'd be pretty hard. In the same way, if we plan to overcome some specific sin, we stand a better chance of succeeding, you know, if we focus on one certain problem area at a time. It takes a lot of hard work and effort. And it helps to realize it's just not easy to get rid of sin. I may have told you this story before, but 1 year, just before the Days of Unleavened Bread, I was eating a sandwich. And a little small piece of breadcrumb fell on my shirt. So I brushed it off and it fell on my pants. I brushed it off again and it fell on my ankle. It just did not want to leave me. Well, knowing that it isn't easy to remove sin helps us to not become discouraged. We know we have a fight on our hands, and so each little battle we win helps us finally win the war against sin completely. Just like leaven, sin can show up in unexpected places. It's unrelenting, just like that little breadcrumb I tried to push off and brush it off. This is the season we stay on guard and we're extra careful with problem areas, avoiding as much as possible anything we know has caused us spiritual trouble in the past. Another thing is, you know, we don't wait, shouldn't wait till the last minute. We didn't do that when we were unleavening. So we don't wait till the last minute to change or grow or overcome because time could run out and our good intentions only wouldn't be enough to get the job done. So we don't want to give up until the job is done. And that concept of putting out sin is unique. People don't generally do it. They're not taught to do it. Usually the idea is taught that one is saved by grace and the law is done away. You know, we know there's many scriptures that instruct us to repent. We know God's law is not done away. You know, we're to stop sinning. The whole point of the Days of Unleavened Bread is to teach us that very thing. Put the sin out. Obey God's law. But we're taught to serve God and do it the way God tells us to serve him. We're to keep his law. I mentioned that already. Romans 6, I'm still there, Romans 6, verse 21. Romans 6, 21, it says, "What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you became servants to God. Have your fruit to holiness, the end everlasting life." I think I might have read that, but I didn't hear, say it again. We were slaves of sin. We were held by it. We're not coming out of it. And we were held by the power of death. Hebrews 2:14, I'll just quickly read that one. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2, 14. "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Just like the Pharaoh had the power of life and death over his subjects, you know, Satan has the power of death because of sin. We know from Isaiah 53, all that suffering and grief and trauma that Christ went through, that was done for us by someone as innocent as a little lamb. And we know Christ endured those things like a lamb. Most likely the people didn't make the connection from the book of Isaiah or even realize what John was saying until after the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Then they could make that connection between the Passover lamb sacrifice and the Lamb of God sacrifice. They still needed to understand the Days of Unleavened Bread to connect the necessity of the sacrifice of Christ, and it's related to removing sin. For his entire life, Christ could see this horrible suffering and death coming. He knew he would suffer. That's what sin does, causes suffering. And this was something he was willing to do for each one of us. Again, that makes it so personal for each one of us. Luke 22, 19 and 20. Luke 22, 19 and 20. Any doubt that all that suffering that Christ willingly went through for us personally is removed. All doubt is removed when we read these verses. Notice what Christ plainly said. Luke 22, verse 19. "He took bread, he gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Do not forget he did this for you and for me. Verse 22, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." We're to purge out the old leaven to be a new lump, you know, be unleavened. We're told that in Corinthians that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. See, this is personal. Why? Because we had to become unleavened. Why the shed blood? It was shed because everyone is leavened. In other words, Everyone has sinned. They were leavened. We were leavened. We all had sin and we're facing the death penalty. All have sinned. We all need to be passed over. The wage of sin is death. So those sins had to be paid for. So here's the connection with Passover and unleavened bread. We need to remember something horrible happened to Christ. We must never forget what he did for us. Again, we need to take this personally. Over in Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5. I'll just go there. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were without strength, without ability, without the means to come out of sin. It took the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ to free us from that bondage of sin and the penalty of death and give us access to the Father. Over in Hebrews 10, well, I'll turn there too. Just Hebrews 10. And verse 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. God in heaven, our Father in heaven, gave his son as a sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ was a willing sacrifice for us. Our freedom from the bondage of sin and the penalty of death, that was made possible because of his great sacrifice. And that great sacrifice is pictured by the Passover. You know, he was scourged after that unspeakable, cruel torture. He was crucified. We have to respond to that. We take the bread and wine remembering his suffering was for our benefit. It was an immense suffering. We were set free at last, set free from sin, able to receive healing in our bodies as well. Now, the days of unleavened bread connect us to that sacrifice. They help us understand and respond to that immense sacrifice. Now we can go forward out of sin, receive mercy and grace and help in time of need. When we understand the Passover, we understand why Christ died, and our lives should reflect that. Our lives should begin to change right away when we really understand the Passover sacrifice. That's one reason why the days of unleavened bread begin immediately after the Passover. Observing the days of unleavened bread reflect our understanding and appreciation of Christ's sacrifice. Putting sin out of our lives is a logical, sensible response to reflect our gratitude and respect for what was given for us. We all have this great debt of sin. That's why we need to understand why Christ died. Christ had to die to remove our past sin. So that's why we examine ourselves and we take the Passover and we go on and keep the days of unleavened bread. The days of unleavened bread connect our understanding of the sacrifice of Christ with the understanding that we need to stop sinning. We absolutely must respond to Christ's sacrifice by keeping the meaning and purpose of the days of unleavened bread. We have to stop sinning. We have to put the sin out of our lives in response and with respect for Christ's sacrifice of suffering for us. During these days of unleavened bread, we need to focus on both what we need to do to improve and focus on what God and Christ have already done for us. When we understand the connection between the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we begin to understand how much God loves us and wants us free from the suffering and the hurt that comes as a result of sin. God's great love for us is truly revealed in the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We reveal our love back to God when we show our respect and appreciation for that Passover sacrifice by keeping His commandments, putting the leaven of sin out of our lives. The days of unleavened bread are about the eternal salvation of God's sons and daughters. The days of unleavened bread are about God leading us, His children, His future family, out of that old way of slavery and bondage of sin. So, these days are about our journey out of the way of sin, going forward to complete our journey when we enter into the kingdom of God and become part of God's sinless family for all eternity. The days of unleavened bread teach us that because Christ did what He did for us, we are to be convicted of our personal sins to the point that we would never want to sin again and never forget what was given for us and what was done for us, so that we, God's children, God's future family members, would have the way of eternal salvation open to us. Let's all be sure to complete our journey out of sin all the way into God's family.